so far away. Whoa, 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 so near, yet so far away. Mm-hmm, so
there we go, that's Billy Fury and Halfway to Paradise. Now, in the year 902, Vikings made their way across the Irish Sea and settled in Wirral. And why wouldn't they? It's a beautiful place, isn't it? And to this day, their influence on the area is still very much evident. Local historian Professor Steve Harding is helping to celebrate our links with the Norsemen this week with the St. Olaf's Heritage Walk. And he joins me in the studio right now. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hello, Paul.
Good to see you, and thank you very much for coming in. How long were the Vikings in Wirral?
Well, they came in 902, as you say, but we don't know really, and there's evidence from DNA that they stayed to a large extent, because a recent DNA survey of Wirral and neighbouring West Lancashire showed that up to 50% of the DNA of old families from Wirral and West Lancashire appeared to be Norse, Scandinavian in origin. So it seems they stayed.
And why? I mean, did they just bump into the Wirral, or did they did they plan to come? You know, they knew it was a great place. How did they end up here? Why did they come to the Wirral?
Well, they of course came from Norway, this lot, originally, and they came down the Irish Sea and they settled in Dublin. They had a big base in Dublin, and the Irish Chronicles tell us in the year 902 there was a huge battle, and the Vikings were driven out completely. And a leader of the Vikings, Ingimund, came to the Queen of the English, who was Queen Ethelfled, daughter of Alfred the Great, asking for permission to settle in some land somewhere, and she gave them Wirral.
And how much of an influence on the area were the Vikings? Did they leave their mark at all?
We believe so. We know that from all the place names, all the BY names, you know, Frank B. Greasby, Irby Pensby.
So they're all Norse related.
Norse names. Even Tranmere is a Norse name.
So give us a few examples of what they mean.
Well, Tranmere, for a starter. I say that because I'm a Tranmere supporter. Tran is an old Norse name meaning a heron or a crane bird. And Mir comes from Mel, which means a sandbank. So it's the sandbank with crane birds. But on both sides of the Mersey, you have lots of names of Viking origin on the Liverpool side, places like Kirkby, Crosby, Formby, Toxteth, Aigburth. And on both sides of the Mersey, you have places called Thingwall.
Right.
You've got Thingwall on the Wirral, and you've got Thingwall Hall in Liverpool.
That's right, yeah.
And
yeah.
Thingwall is where the Vikings had their own parliament, their own assembly.
Ah.
And we've got the only two definite Thingwall places in the whole of England. There's Tynwald and the Isle of Man, of course, but we've got the two, only two here.
Really? Is that
and
right?
Once you've got a Thingwall, it's a sign of Scandinavian autonomy, government and power. So when they were here all those years ago, they were here in great numbers and had virtually their own government.
That is amazing. Yep. That is absolutely amazing. And what can we see of their time here now? Is there any sort of evidence of where they settled or what they did? Is there anything tangible left?
Yeah, there's place names. There's also the archaeology. And particularly on the Wirral, there's lots of archaeology stuff being discovered all the time. Like there's two Viking houses that have been unearthed, one in Irby and on one in Lingham. Not the entire house, but the foundations. And various bits of treasure, stonework and things. And on the Liverpool side of the Mersey, Viking treasure was found near Crosby and further up north near Preston. So they definitely had a very strong presence in the whole of this area.
And where did your interest yourself come in the Vikings? Where did that all start?
Yeah, because I'm a scientist, really. I'm a professor of biochemistry at Nottingham. I got interested because I found out that my football team had a Viking name.
Right.
As simple as that. It all comes down to football.
And is there one standout piece of information that when you were doing your research really sort of hit you between the eyes and you said, wow, that's amazing? Any one piece of information you find out that really struck you?
Well, the DNA work, which we were involved with the University of Leicester, and of course they're famous for genetics. That's where forensic DNA was started, really.
Mm.
We worked with a lady who discovered the Richard III, Terry King. Yeah.
Oh, right.
But she's, if I could plug a book, she's co-author with me of Viking DNA, which we've just donated a copy to you, Paul, and the Radio Merseyside studios.
You have?
Along with, can I do this?
You can, absolutely.
Viking Tranmere.
Yeah.
Done in conjunction with Tranmere Rovers in the community, and a reprint of Viking Mersey, which was reprints recently by Heritage in Aintree.
And available
Aintree is also a Norse name.
Is it really?
Which means one tree.
One tree, Aintree. Yeah.
Aintree.
Ah. And these books are available from all good bookshops and online as well?
Yes, also online by Amazon, yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to embarrass you now because you actually received an award from the King of Norway for your research, is that right?
That's absolutely right.
Tell us about that.
I was very, very embarrassed by that. It was really to do with the DNA survey we were doing all those years ago. And I think we tested one or two from the studio. I think we tested Snelly.
Has he got any Viking in him?
Yeah, very probably. That's another story.
Okay.
And I think work with the community, yeah, doing talks, and also organising this walk that we are having this Friday.
Well, I was going to come on to that. It's named after St. Olaf, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us, first of all, who was St. Olaf?
St. Olaf is the patron saint of Norway, and he is loved by all Norwegians. He actually died in a battle, so he was a Viking,
a real Viking
in the year 1030, and his shrine at Trondheim was used as a sort of pilgrimage. So for many hundreds of years, people went there. Then it stopped, but then they started this pilgrimage, going from Oslo and all over Scandinavia towards Trondheim every year. It's hundreds of miles pilgrimage. So we decided it'd be nice on Merseyside because we've got a St. Olaf's Church in Chester.
Right.
If we had our own little mini pilgrimage, going from, well, we vary it some years ago from West Kirby, from St. Bridget's Church in West Kirby, also a Viking church. And other years we go from Hellesmere Port, right, the Waterways Museum. And this year we're actually going from there.
So tell us about this year's walk. When, where, what, right, how did you get involved?
It's this Friday.
Yeah.
We meet at 10 o'clock at the National Waterways Museum, Hellesmere Port. Parking is free. And we leave at 10:30. And we'll be accompanied by the brave warriors of the reenactment group called Viking Chester. So we'll be fully protected all the way.
That is going to be fantastic.
So no Romans or Saxons can get us. We're quite safe. We go round the walls of Chester and then to St. Olaf's Church, which is on Lower Bridge Street.
And how far is the walk? How far is it?
It's 9 miles.
9 miles, okay.
It's relatively flat, apart from when we climb up the city walls. But anyone wanting to join us could join us for part of the walk.
Yeah, so they don't have to do the whole walk, no.
Yeah, there's one or two pub stops on the way.
Really? I'm sure the Vikings would have stopped at the pub, wouldn't they, really?
So if you want to come, if you can drop me an email, that's steve.harding@nottingham.ac.uk, or they can... maybe get this from...
We'll leave it with the A-team,
sure,
as well for Monday.
But do try and contact us beforehand so we've got an idea of numbers. But everybody is welcome. It's flat. As I said, there's no tricky climbs and things. And, come along and enjoy. And hopefully the weather will be as glorious as it is today.
Yeah, and just briefly, what's going to happen when you get to Chester?
Right, well...
there's no pillaging going to take place.
No, we'll be joined by the Reverend David Chesters from St. John's, who will say a few words in English and in Norwegian.
Right.
And then we'll probably retire to the local hostelry across the road.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great idea.
It's great fun. We do it every year. And, please come along and join us.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Steve, thank you very much for coming in today. It's been an absolute delight. And I've been flicking through these books already. And being a tour guide myself, I'm sort of, this is great. This is like real meat to me.
It's great.
I love this sort of thing about, especially because we get a lot of Norwegians, don't we, coming to Liverpool with the football. They bring over Liverpool and Everton. And have lots of Norwegian fans.
And actually, if I can say so, I know the chairman of the Liverpool Norwegian Reds Supporters Club. We've got 30,000 members.
It's massive.
And they sometimes come to Tranmere, actually, as well. We're playing the same weekend. So
fantastic.
These are good guys.
That's great. Professor Steve Harding, who's organising the St. Olaf's Heritage Walk this Friday, thank you very much for coming in and joining us on Summer Saturday.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank
Pleasure.
You.
Travel. BBC Radio Merseyside.
And for the final time, I can't believe this is the last time I'm going to speak to you today, Katie Booth. But I know, in the 28 minutes you had, you've got to tell me all about the mattress.
Yes. Yes, well, this is on the M56 westbound, and there's a lane blocked because of this mattress, and it is there. I can't see it on the camera, though. I've had a look. It's between 10 Stretton and 11 for Preston.
It's not a mythical mattress, is it?
Well, no, it can't. It's come from highways, so it must be there. But then again, it is only reports of. So it's the outside lane, the fast lane, 3 of 3, that is blocked by this mattress. And so, you know, I don't know what would happen even if you drove over it, so certainly don't do that. So that's one to avoid if you are on the M56 heading west this afternoon. Elsewhere, the M6 has certainly been very busy all day.